We're jumping right into interview week. And after our team shuffle in the last episode, we put Jen, Gabriel, and David together, and they've christened themselves the Live Action Renegade Podcasters. Can these LARPers pull off an interview like they pull off a medieval steampunk battle cloak? Find out on this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. It's the start of Celebrity Interview Week, and I've given the teams the task of preparing for, conducting, and editing down an interview into a 10-minute podcast. I've also given them their interviewee, Mr. Ptolemy Slocum, an actor whose face you'll recognize from shows like Westworld and the brand new ABC show Emergence. The live-action Renegade Podcasters, Jen, Gabriel, and David, are getting to know each other after the team reshuffled in the last episode and are hard at work preparing their interview. We'll listen in on their coaching session with Tom, and later on in the show, listen to their submission for the week. But first, let's check in with David. I'm here with David, who right now we're affectionately calling Team 4 a member. Although I'm sure you guys, in addition to working on the project for this week, you're probably also working on a team name.
We're still trying to figure that out. We haven't had a ton of time to meet yet. And, you know, now we're deep into the competition and everything has changed, but we're still trying to keep our heads above water. So one thing at a time, you know?
Of course, of course. And so I've jammed you in with Gabriel and the Jen for this team. So you got one former Force Bench Wizard Blaster and one former Banana Hugger. How are you guys? Have you had much time to talk at all? Well, not really face-to-face, but over Discord chat?
Jen is traveling right now, so we weren't able to talk with her much last night over Discord, but Gabe and I got to talk a little bit, and we've been chatting a bit just through text on Discord, so we're warming up to one another.
Gotcha. Okay, good. Good. And I'm curious about how the roles are going to work out here, because I try to keep things somewhat balanced as far as having editors and speakers and things like that from the teams still kind of represented well on each team. But how do you think the roles are going to fit on this one? Do you think it's going to be pretty similar to what you had on Sock Puppets, or do you see it being different with the different team members on this one?
I think it's a chance to shake things up a little bit. I think each of us on our teams, you know, learning from last season where it became apparent after a little bit, you know, play to your strengths. And that's I think what every team did. You know, you found the good editor and you had them be the editor. You found the good on mic personalities and you focused them towards that. And so now with this shakeup, it's great because we'll get to do some different things, but now it's just figuring out, okay, who in this team is the one that's going to be the best editor, be the best on mic person, stuff like that.
Sure. That's perfect. And that's the way I want things to work. So I'm happy to see it working that way. The other thing that I'm really pleased about is watching your Discord today. Gabriel has been on fire going through season one's interview challenge and not just listening to what was done before, but also taking copious notes about what each of the judges said about it, Tom's recommendations, Hammond's recommendations. He was the coach last season. I'm really, really impressed with that. How, knowing that, you know, the judges are flaky and sometimes they forget what they liked last season and may like something totally different this year. How much of that are you going to be using as a template for this week's challenge?
I think there's one point that we are really kind of drilling in on from last season, and it's sort of something Jury said, sort of something that has kind of got discussed, which is to not be a slave to your questions, to have a focus. You know, that was something from last season. Teams kind of got dinged a little bit for maybe not being as focused, so that's, you know, it's a clear sign to us, have a purpose with our questioning, but also let the conversation go where the conversation is going to go. Don't, you know, if he brings up a really interesting point that would possibly allow us to have an interesting follow-up conversation, don't skip that in favor of the question we have written down. Go down the path that's going to be the most interesting.
Very good. Yeah, that is fantastic advice and something that definitely won't change from season to season as far as something that the judges are looking for. Have you figured out, and this, you know, Tom will ask the same question, but have you figured out a way to work the interview into a much broader episode of a series? What your overarching series is going to be compared to just this interview?
We haven't figured that completely out yet. The one that we're talking about right now is sort of doing a That Guy podcast because Ptolemy Slocum has been in a bunch of shows, sometimes for multiple episodes. You know, he was on The Wire. He was, of course, on Westworld. He has a new show that's on ABC that he has a part in tonight that he's been promoting. He's been on Preacher. He's done a bunch of web stuff. He was in a video game. It's just, you know, he's been everywhere, kind of done everything. And not, you know, trying to still find a focus in that, not being too scattershot, but maybe having that be the focus of the show as we talk to the faces you know, but not the names that you know.
Perfect. That sounds like a great way to frame it. I think one of the teams last year waited until the interview was done and recorded to figure out what the theme was going to be around it. And it, at least... maybe they were talking about doing that. Maybe they didn't do it because I'm trying to think back to which team was doing that. Definitely wasn't the one that asked, what's your greatest, or how does it feel to be a failure? Yeah. They're talking about their survivor loss. maybe don't use that as an opening line with Ptolemy.
No, I was actually listening to some other interviews from him today just to get a feel from him as a subject. And he mentioned something towards the end of, you know, acting for him is very much a job. And he has this passion, which is for him, his family outside of that. And I think there might be kind of something there, like how, you know, the creative process around acting as a job versus, you know, the Oscar award winners who make a big deal out of eating bear livers. you know, the guys who are clocking in sort of a 9-to-5 way.
Gotcha. Wow. Very cool. That's a very smart way to prepare and kind of get an idea for his comfort levels and his seeing things that he likes to talk about in interviews. So I think it's a really good way to prepare. Very good. Well, can't wait to see what you guys come up with. I'll be listening in on the Tom sessions. And of course, I'll be there for the interview itself as another silent eavesdropper. So looking forward to hearing what you guys come up with.
Me too.
All right. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Let's listen in on their coaching session with Tom Merritt.
Team 4, do you guys have a new name?
Yes, we are going to be going by the Live Action Renegade Podcasters.
Live Action Renegade Podcasters.
LARP.
I love it. So, since we're on new teams, I'm not going to go through a lot of feedback on last week's episodes, but I'll give you the chance if you want feedback or have specific questions about last week if you want. Take that. If not, we'll just plow ahead towards next week.
Let's use our time wisely.
Yeah, I'm ready to plow ahead.
All right, let's do it. Interviewing a celebrity. How are you feeling?
I think go ahead, Gabe.
Oh, let's say. So we kind of just putting it out there right off the gate. We actually went through and listened to last season stuff. So we got a lot of advice from you from last time as well, even though some of it will apply, some of it won't.
I probably don't remember any of it, so I'll probably contradict
that's
myself.
Okay. I have it almost memorized now. So love you, Tom. So our thing is that I think Dave is going to do a lot of the heavy lifting on here. And so I guess give it to him now on some of the questions.
So our approach on it, because we've listened also to some interviews from Ptolemy, and he's a very interesting guy when you can get him kind of talking philosophically. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that is kind of what we're aiming towards. I kind of view the interview, the way I want to approach it, as having sort of an arc, with the beginning talking about a new show that he was just on. He was super excited about it on Twitter. I want to ask him about that, find out why he was excited about it, ask him about what, you know, the projects that excite him, what draw him to projects. and then segue from that into, I listened to interviews. He talked about how work is, acting is work for him. It's a job. So I kind of want to get some insight on that perspective on what is it like when you treat acting like a job.
Not to mention he's very, very like private about his personal life. He's very private about a lot of stuff. So he's kind of a tricky interview because it's one of those things of he will shut you down. He will just straight up be like, no, I'm not interested in this, or I prefer not to talk about this. So you really need to, he likes to talk about not so much himself, but really likes to talk about his thoughts.
I see an opportunity in that angle for a little bit of focus and a little bit of informing the idea that this is part of a wider interview series podcast. Have you guys thought about that?
Go ahead, Jen.
Oh, we kind of talked about a few different things. One of them being possibly like talking about interesting jobs and then having this be someone who has this job. We've also kind of talked about being a working actor, kind of that not necessarily being like, you know him, you've seen him in lots of different things. He's that guy, you know, from this, and the other thing, but just kind of in that role.
Yeah. The idea of being like, you know, we're talking to the people whose faces you know, but whose names you don't know and getting to know them.
That's a good angle too. Yeah. I would pick one of those directions and focus on it in your actual interview. You can certainly start by loosening him up and getting him talk about something he's super excited about. There may be something useful comes out of that. That's a gem that you'll want to use. Or you may just throw that on the cutting room floor. But I would try to, you know, quickly zero in on the nut, because everybody's going to be interviewing him, right? So you've got to figure out, like, how does your interview sound different than the others? And whether it's focusing on you're the person behind the face, you know, and which is tricky with a guy who doesn't want to talk about his personal life, to try to get him to open up about that. Or whether you go with the working aspect, which sounds like it would be easier, but maybe not as attention getting, as the other one. I would pick one of those directions to focus on. And it's certainly not wrong to ask him about both of those and see which one yields the best results, and then, you know, cut your episode from there.
That's great. That's sort of how I was planning on approaching it, because I have this big long quote from him at the end of another interview that I transcribed and kind of looked through for the big pieces. He's talking about giving advice to other actors. And that's when he starts talking about it being a job and separating the results from the want. So I kind of want to get that philosophy on it. But he also says, you know, the thing that saved my life was having kids, and that you need to have a full life and allow acting to be something that you do.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, there's a really interesting angle if you can get it about work-life balance, and talking to him about that, which could even tie into why he doesn't want to talk about his personal life. That becomes an answer to a question in that case.
That could be a really interesting long-term interview show.
Yeah, too. Yeah, and that sounds like a very relevant modern series.
Would it be like inappropriate? Yeah, would it be inappropriate to ask him like, why don't you talk about your home life?
Well, if you know he's going to say, I don't want to, then it's probably not very fruitful to do that.
Okay, yeah.
There's still a lot in that we could also avoid
we want to talk about work-life balance. How do you draw the line?
Right.
You know, why do you keep your personal life? Maybe you do it this way. How do you keep your personal life separate from your work life? Which gives an opportunity for him to throw down some nuggets maybe of his own without feeling like he has to, he's being put up against the wall and being like, no, I don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
I feel like in interviews, a lot of times the first couple of questions, the first couple of questions really set the tone. Do you have any suggestions for kind of those initial questions to get him loosened up? Because we have to go first. So
yeah, that's an advantage in a way, because he
in some
tired,
ways, yeah.
Right. He's not going to be like, ah, oh, it's the third one of these things. Right. Which is good. The other thing is I think whether you use it or not, if you know he's excited about something, asking him about something he's excited about is going to be good because it gets him in a good mood and makes him feel like, oh, okay, this is fun. So if you know he's excited about that new show, or if you know something else that he has an interest in, yeah, you're absolutely right, Jen. You want to set the tone of the interview, not necessarily the interview you air, but the interview in recording, to get him going, right? And because there's a flow you get into, and at the beginning of an interview, even any of us doing an interview, at first you're going to be like, okay, how am I going to do this? And eventually you forget you're having an interview and you're just having a conversation. That's when you get the good stuff.
Yeah. With that, Ptolemy can be very rambly in his responses. How do you have any advice on kind of keeping things on track?
Yeah. I mean, it's less of an issue when you're editing than in a live interview, right? Because if it gets a little rambly and you can't get him back on track, you can always just cut. But you also, you know, I don't know which one of you is editing, but you want to try to make life as easy as possible for the editor. So usually I look for a breath. If you're like, man, he's going off in a direction that we don't need to go, look for a breath and say, well, that's interesting. And then ask your next question. You could try to segue or just don't. But you know, you want to not be rude. So you don't want to just interrupt. You want to, but there's nothing wrong in an interview with kind of taking hold of the conversation and steering it back in a different direction.
Okay.
Man. Yeah.
That's a whole skill in and of itself. I wish I had a short answer.
You know? I think the challenge in particular too is he's a big improv guy himself. So there's going to be not so much pushback, but like I definitely listened to another interview that he did, and he definitely toyed with the interviewee, like was dancing around and just like having a ball because you know he's got that experience.
Well, so and you can use that too, right? And I don't know that any of the three of you have great improv skills. If you do,
I do.
Then use that
going at it.
And improv him back and yes, and him back towards the topic you want to have. And also don't be afraid to, if he's a funny guy, which he is, let him be funny and use that in your interview too. That's good stuff.
Okay, great.
Do we want to ask about the narrative framework and possibly kind of just making it... just for framing, possibly doing like a little snippet at the beginning from a different voice?
Oh, yeah. We were talking about maybe having someone else introduce the show and our subject this week and then going into the interview, or should it be the same voice throughout?
That's a stylistic choice. You can do it either way. You just kind of have to do it differently to make it make sense, you know, and set it up as like, hey, here I am, Bob, the voice of the show, welcoming you back to another show. This week, our interviewer, Jake, talks to Annabelle about blah, 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 you know? Or if you want to say, I talked to et cetera, you can do that. You can also edit his interview where you're not in it. You know, that's another perfectly legitimate interview style is to not have your questions appear and just cut together his responses. It takes a little more editing flair to do that. So any of the three of those can work.
Let's listen in on their work sessions.
If we go off script or something, it turns into, hey, like I said, if he starts talking about the time a monkey stole his lunch when he was in second grade or something, we're fucking riding that pony. So it's one of those things of, like, how, you know, how comfortable are you with those improv skills, so to speak, to be able to jump on, hey, if we're going to kind of deviate from the script. I will obviously be, because I'm very curious in how they do it as well, in terms of, learned how to, edit around the interview. Zoom is your best friend. Learn how to cut around speech patterns and those gaps and those lapses in conversation to, you know, mix and match that. So I can do that.
If we can make a section in the doc for Tom Time questions, I know for sure I want to. One of the things I always ask Tom, just because I find it gets me the most prescient information, is what is your best advice for going into the interview challenge, into the blank challenge? Because he always gives us advice that I would have never always otherwise asked for. So
cool.
And it takes a couple minutes, but it's always gotten me a little tidbit of something interesting. Yeah, no, I was laughing about that because he was on Burn Notice. He was on Nurse Jackie. He was
Sopranos, The Wire.
Oh yeah, Fringe. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I think one thing might be interesting to talk about is a difference between, like, what was it like working on an HBO, you know, working on HBO shows versus like working on Marvel shows. Because those are, you know, two very big names right now in the television, in the entertainment space.
Welcome to the Creative Mind Podcast, a show where we talk to people in creative professions about their work, their process, and their lives. This week, David Luzader talks to actor Ptolemy Slocum. Ptolemy is best known as Sylvester on HBO's Westworld and has also appeared in many other projects, including The Wire, Baskets, and Hitch.
Ptolemy, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Just to start things off here, I wanted to talk real quick about the show you were on recently, Emergence on ABC. How was it being on there? Did you have fun playing a bad guy?
Oh, I loved it. That show was fantastic for me. I mean, life-changing for a couple reasons that aren't evident even on screen. They offered me a job. So, like, when you're an actor, your job is to be desperate. It just constantly live your life as a desperate, like, insect looking for food of any kind. And I've been doing this for 20 years now. And this was the first, like, substantial thing that they're like, you know what? We know you. We just want you to do this role. I feel different about myself because of it. This show was awesome. But even on my own, like, personal journey, it was a real turning point for me.
Huh. So this is the, you've been working for about 20 years, you said, and this is the first time specifically you were picked for a role?
Yeah, I mean, I've done other for a television, like, recurring, like an actual, I've done like a movie of this. The first guy that ever hired me was for Hitch, and he hired me randomly for another project of his that was like shooting in the Canary Islands. And it was like, it was amazing. So I actually have had an offer before, but this was for people that I didn't know, like, that it was, it just feels like I'm almost an actual actor. And it's pretty great.
I'm curious, when you are taking on a new character, what is your creative process like?
First, I go immediately to what is me in this person. So what is exactly me in the situation that this individual is going through? And then beyond that, what is deeper about me that I'm not even aware of about myself that this person is going through? You're given someone outside of you, and you basically drive directly inside of you to find how personal you can make this moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I've heard you say before that you treat acting like a job. It is your job, that you have a separation of your personal life and yourself sort of from the work. But does having to dig into yourself to connect to a character make that line a little bit blurry sometimes?
I think not in the way that you might be asking, in the sense of like art or craft or suffering. So I feel like I've matured as an actor in the sense that I understand the job. I've changed my relationship to emotion being something that I choose. So I can feel emotion. It can come in and it can go away. My job is not to become hatred. My job is not to hate in order to feel hate. My job is to understand what is going on in that situation and then actually experience it while it's happening. It's not this inner demon process that I think that as a younger, maybe 20-something person that I was going through, that it's not art unless you're somehow suffering or somehow going through it. I think it's art when you can get yourself to be in that moment as it is happening.
You said that you've matured over the years as an actor, and I'm just curious how that happened. Was there any specific moment, or was it a process over time?
I think it's a process over time. I think I got into this for the same wrong reasons that a lot of us get into this, is that I felt like I wasn't enough, and I was looking for validation outside of me. I wanted to feel accepted, and my cognition was, if I am liked, then that makes me a better person. And I've realized over the course of these years, that my job is to be whole. Like, the process of art and the process of acting and the process of expressing any part of myself is I am limited by my wholeness, not by my demons or by those things that are like make me angry or what have you.
Yeah. So where do you find your validation now?
I mean, I find it. My validation is me. I mean, the biggest thing that's probably helped me is children in terms of like changing priorities. So I have to know my priorities at all times or I can get lost. Once you have children, nothing can stop you. Like you have something so much more important than the bullshit of like society or, you know, all the things that we get so wrapped up in. Children crush all of that. For me, it really is like the more I focus on family and the things that are there behind the work, the better the work gets. Like the less anxious I am about acting, the more jobs I get, the better I do at it. It's just fascinating. So for me, it's helped. The family has helped a lot. And if it's not family, it's just as long as you have yourself or some other thing that's outside of acting, things go way better. You just need to stop living for other people.
That's great.
Thank you.
I'm here to give you validation today.
Oh, thank God. Have a neat life.
Have a neat life. Is that what people should aim for, you think?
No.
What should people aim for?
I mean, this question changes all the time. It's also my favorite question. My newest answer is that the whole purpose of us being here is to let go. And it feels fantastic. This is brand new, but the more we can release from these things that have held us up, the more this like weird, light, pleasant feeling has been coming into me. Like I'm like weirdly content, and I have never been that way ever. So for me, the purpose of life is stillness and surrender right now. Next month might be different. I mean, what haven't we covered? You know what I mean?
Favorite sandwich.
Good question. I'm a big fan of pork belly right now. Oh no, that's not true. I just had a better one. It's a hot chicken sandwich. There, I think it's supposed to be from Nashville or whatever, but in LA, there's this hot chicken thing that's taken over. But one of them, Howlin' Ray's, has a hot chicken sandwich, and it's ridiculous. It's like a grilled cheese plus a hot chicken sandwich, and it is lightly life changing. But that's also new. Next month might be new.
So you're just on a journey here. Life is ever shifting, and you're just along for the ride.
Yeah, so are you.
That's true. What would you say to somebody who's having trouble letting go?
You know, I deal with a lot of people in acting, and in acting, you are engaged in an industry that you don't have control over. And so what you're dealing with when you give advice and you're running into a lot of people who are struggling with lack of control of their own life. And that is, it's impossible. And it's kind of like telling somebody the way to lose weight is to not be fat. You know, like there can be a disconnect in terms of reaching out and meeting them where they feel like you understand what they're going through. I'm kind of like, I'm presetting my advice to fail, sort of, is like I'm setting up the advice of like how hard it is. But honestly, the advice is the same. It is perseverance, and it is release.
Like you said, it was a process for you. It's likely going to be a process for other people as well.
Yeah. And the fact that it is not easy is an indication that it is the correct path.
So are you then in all of this, are you happier now?
Yes.
With acting, with it? Okay. Just a solid yes.
Absolutely. I mean, I did not ever expect to be this happy or content. I assumed that being unhappy was my job almost. Like I was supposed to be unhappy with acting. I was supposed to be unhappy about all the things I didn't get, all these people that I used to teach improv to that are way quote unquote bigger than me. Like who the f- cares? It's like it's between me and myself is my journey, but it's way too easy to get wrapped up in the world outside of you. And it's way more satisfying to let the world outside of you go. I'm doing pretty well now. And it's fascinating. Not well in terms of like jobs. I think the jobs also came. And I have to say the external to internal, which is like, but you have these things now. That can be an argument. Maybe I'm happy because I got these jobs. But I don't think that's what it is. I think the jobs come when you're able to like let go of them. That's just been my experience. I'm not shitting you. I'm not making stuff up. This has been my experience.
Ptolemy Slocum, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate you being here.
You can see Ptolemy Slocum on Emergence on ABC this season. This has been the Creative Mind Podcast. Thanks for listening. Now go get creative.
That was the Creative Mind Podcast, LARP's entry into the interview challenge. On the next two episodes, we'll catch up with our other two teams, the Stick Figure Squad and Banana Sock Wizards, to see how things are going with them. And then at the end of the week, it's the judging and elimination episode where someone will leave the competition. It's all coming up this week on America's Next Top Podcaster.